Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture with co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Joe Thunder back once again with another episode of the Smoking Joe Thunder podcast. I got my co-host Elvis Fresh in the building.
Yo, what it do?
Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. We got Sin in the house. What's going on?
What is up? How you doing?
Chilling. It's another beautiful day. You know what I mean? Just got done with that 4th of July weekend. Y'all have a little fun or nah?
I had some fun.
Y'all got all y'all fingers or what?
Lots of fireworks.
Yeah, y'all pop no fingers
still
all right?
There.
No
nah, I called them.
No? You guys eat good? Some good barbecues or what?
Yeah, I actually did. I had some barbecue.
About what I ate now. I didn't even.
You know why you don't remember?
You forgot to eat.
You know why I don't remember? Because the night before we had the party and we smoked so much motherfucking weed. Like, I don't know what the fuck I really kind of remember. It was just like all
that llama.
It really was a little too much, yeah. It was ridiculous.
Dude, I was here since 2 till about 2 in the morning, and it did not stop. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But check it out, man. We have a real special guest in the building today.
Queen.
She has one of the dopest spots in the city. You know what I mean? She's got a podcast she's launching probably in the fall. And her swag level is amped up like a motherfucker. We got Maji in the house. What's going on?
Oh, I appreciate that piece. What's going on?
Yeah. Thanks. I'm chilling. You're on it. I'll be on it. You know what I mean? I recognize what's up. You know what I mean? That's how you love. Doing? How you doing?
I'm here. Thanks for having me. It feels like a Monday, like a Groundhog Day, but we're all here. We made it. Ready
we finally
to
made
this
it.
Podcast.
Yeah. We definitely appreciate you coming on by, you know what I'm saying, and chopping it up with us, you know?
That's love. Be Good is always love, so I wanted to make sure I popped in and said salute to Joe and his son is my girl.
You.
She's been watching me rock this whole situation for a while now, so it is my honor to sit here with you guys tonight.
Right. And we know appreciate you got a lot you. Going on, and there's actually a lot of history that you got the plug over here, you know what I'm saying? You need to get your chain with the plug.
Somebody tried to give me a plug chain.
Sure. I'm serious. You get you one. Not one like a you know, like one of those cords you had back in the day, but a real, you know, real
like
gold
a
chain
cool plug.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's where it kind of all started, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Real quick, just let them know this is your first time here. Just let them know who you are, you know, how you kind of, you know, grew up, where you kind of, you know.
Okay, I'm Maji Reverie. I am a radio personality on Denver's finest KS107.5.
Shout out to 107.5.
See, don't be biased. It's my little radio station. We're currently furloughed. So with the furlough, it caused us to kind of have more opportunity to look into the different things that the DJs, you know, would want to do. So with me, I'm not a record playing DJ. I'm learning, but that's not my lane, I wouldn't say. I'm more of a talk show situation.
But you have great taste in music. Great taste in music.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
It's the personality part of it. So naturally, I decided why not kick off a podcast, and that's kind of what has led us to this moment, I guess.
Right. Well, talk about growing up early, though, because you grew up a bunch of places, right?
Oh, man, I'm an Army brat. Absolutely. So I was born in Panama City, Panama, and I moved on average every 3 years my entire life.
A little bit everywhere, right?
Everywhere.
Well, I didn't realize every 3 years.
Every 3 years my entire life.
Wow. And that, like, actually didn't end.
No, it didn't.
It continued because you married someone in the military.
Yep.
And that then was you're back in the military again, right?
That was a lifestyle. So I joined the military briefly, and that wasn't for me. I married into the military.
I was going to ask you that because I was like, well, she
briefly.
How do you get out of the military, though?
You're telling you don't want to be there.
Start fucking up.
Nah, I had an injury. So I chaptered out, and I wasn't able to stay in. But my spouse, my ex-husband, actually, has been in 20 years.
Nice.
Currently still active duty.
And to me, that's kind of where your story starts. When you get married and you're on the base in Germany, right?
Well, this lifestyle has kind of taken me everywhere.
Right.
So I've always been a big hip hop head. Just a lover of just the art of the music. Radio was always something that was like a dream, but, I married early. I had children early. I had a regular, regular federal job. And, you give up on certain dreams and things you want to do because now you have different responsibilities. So I guess the part you want me to take you to is when I was stationed in Europe with my family. I frequented every single concert that ever came to Germany again as a fan. And I knew a lot of the promoters. I knew a lot of the security. I knew a lot of everybody, really. So
basically, you were the plug.
Well, she had access. She had access.
I had the access
that no one else had.
Absolutely. And I guess he keeps saying plug because it was a situation where Europe is Europe, you know.
Exactly.
It's not, you can't go into a
Sundays
Walmart.
Sundays are not a fun day.
Yeah, it's not Sunday fun day. You're at home resting. They believe in having that break in their week, so you can't just run to a store and then buy a notebook
or backwoods.
Backwoods. Well, you can't buy backwoods at all.
Okay, there you go.
They don't sell backwoods in Germany.
Ain't no backwoods in Germany.
And as we know, backwoods is a favorite. I have mine here somewhere. It's a favorite of the smokers. So I would buy them in bulk during those concert periods and bring them out for the riders.
When you say bulk, what do you mean by bulk?
I mean like the boxes of, you know, what is it, 8 packs? I think it's 8 packs in the box, right? Yeah. So 8 packs, I don't know. Depends on how long the tour was. I might bring out 2 boxes. I might bring out 10. And who I'm out with.
Right. But that was like the little thing. The bass kind of had pretty much every. They had the Walmart.
Exactly.
And no one else had the Walmart.
Exactly.
And you
so
had access to Walmart.
You don't have access to that base unless you're affiliated with the military. And like I said, I
and
was.
And they had backwoods there.
Oh, man.
They had everything.
Oh,
in
shit.
Bulk.
They
have
had
everything.
Everything. Like so, Walmart, okay. Literally, but like you can't buy okay. None of that shit on the outside.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where everybody knew me. If somebody needed something, hit Manja. She'll go on the base and she'll pick up a grocery list of whatever it was. It was usually backwoods. Right. It was a lot of backwoods I think I purchased over the years. I should have stock in that damn company at this point.
Right.
But again, it was the only way for them to get certain items on these long tours, because these artists will come out to Europe and do tours that might go 3 weeks. They might last a month. And then you could imagine being a smoker and being not able to smoke your own blunts for a month. You know, it's kind of uncomfortable. So yeah, I guess it was kind of a plug situation.
Right. And you said you did a little bit of everything while you were doing that, as far as the promoting and when it came to that, because you knew everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess technically we could title it as I was
a liaison.
Absolutely. it's almost like a hospitality type situation. Right. So I work very closely with the Military Welfare Recreation Program. A good friend of mine, she spearheaded that program to be able to bring different artists from the States to come perform for the troops for free.
Right.
So I was always present in planning those situations.
I called you Suge Knight, right? Yes. I was like, you like the Suge Knight, the promotion game. You just soaking everything up because you was around everything.
For sure. But she was a lady that she wasn't in that mix. So
when
it was time for us to go out and take the artist out and get the riders and make sure we're there early and the sound check is good and all those good things, I was the one that she would send.
Right.
So all of that kind of grew. And again, I still had a regular job. I was married. I had my family. And just the more I did this, the more I knew I didn't want to do any of that.
Right,
so
right.
That's kind of what led me to I guess, this side of it.
And then eventually she kind of got tired of it and just kind of handed it to you, right?
Well, that was she kept it for a while. Like I said, people move every 3 years. So at that point, I think I had moved to a different base. So she maintained that program at the base that she was at. And at this point, it was more leisure, if anything, for me. My brothers worked for a company that did security. I was very good friends with a promoter that would bring a lot of big artists out. So I was able to always kind of just be there in the mix, you know? I guess that's the easiest way to describe my introduction to the music world.
Right. And there's like not many, I mean, it's not like the United States where, you know what I mean? It's kind of the big cities. When they go there, it's kind of like probably a big thing.
Well, you're
too.
Like one of the only Americans. You're a group of Americans.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you're that group of Americans and you're the one that brought the backwoods, of course, you're the cool one, you know, or the that's weed or, you know, whatever it was.
And you was bringing like 3 or 4 themes, you know what I mean?
I was bringing every. I would get lists. It got to the point where once it was a family situation, they would send me a list ahead of time. So I knew that I had to pick up double stuffed Oreos for the road manager and I needed to pick up 10 boxes of backwoods for the artist and pick up, I don't know, let's see, the weirdest thing, I think. Let me think. Oreos was, cookies and snacks is always a big commodity. I had somebody ask me for some beard dye once. I had to bring some beard dye. That was interesting.
Dye someone's beard?
Yeah.
Beard?
To dye
just
beard.
For men.
Yes. Wow. Just
get rid
for
of them whites. Get rid of them whites.
And that's all love. I didn't think that he needed it, but I brought it because it was on the list of shit that I was supposed to bring.
You don't need it, but hey, why?
Hey, you, that's why you. That's like why that he didn't need it, because he uses it.
But so you pretty much became family with a lot of these artists.
They are. Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of them. Yeah, they're super family. Like they've seen my kids grow up. I've been on some of the most amazing tours throughout Europe and the United States. And again, it was a point where I had a regular job, so I would only get to do this a couple of times a year, but I looked forward only to that. You know, I want to do shit else.
So they asked you to go on tours with them after you made a
relationship? Well, when it was family. Yeah, when it was a relationship situation. It wasn't so much an asked. It was kind of a, okay, we're going to be there. We need all of this. Right. See you in Amsterdam. See you in London. See you in
When you talk about that totally reminds me, like we were talking like the NBA shit. Like the NBA, they send people to the city a couple of days before. Mm-hmm. To get all the chicks and get all the weed and get everything situated. They got a spot.
We didn't get no chicks. I wasn't out looking for no chicks.
So you never brought chicks?
No, never brought no chicks.
No.
It was like never. Her right there. That one right there.
I have one homegirl that I would take to situations like that with me, and it still wasn't. She wasn't one of the chicks. Again, it was a family situation.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I mean, feel like a family. Exactly. It's different. The it people that bring chicks is different than, I mean.
I have so many stories of a couple of those artists that I met the first time, and I don't think anybody ever thought of me as one of those chicks. Yeah. You know, I stand out, not purposely, but usually I'm in a hoodie and some sweats or some fly sneakers. I like to accessorize.
Right,
so,
right.
But I'm not, I don't like being the center of attention. So that's never what I was there for. Usually I was there working or, you know, dropping something off. I think you asked me about my most memorable story.
I was going to go into the other memorable story with
go ahead,
worst picture ever. That you caught by surprise, because that kind of relates back to the bass theme.
The worst picture.
Yeah, you said you took the worst picture that day over the notebook.
Oh, my God, yes. I think I was 19 at this point. I'd been stationed in Europe maybe a year.
Were you married at 19?
I was married at 18.
Oh, okay. Damn, that was young.
Oh, my God.
I was not expecting you to say 19 years old.
My kid was one at this point, yeah. So my baby, she was about one. And I get a phone call from one of the promoters, as usual. Hey, it's Sunday. It was a Sunday. Oh, right here.
Oh, okay.
I was like, it was a Sunday. And again, everything is closed on a Sunday in Europe. And they were freaking blowing up my phone. I said, what the hell is calling me on a Sunday?
Someone
like
die?
Yeah. And I'm like, hello. And they were like, yo, are you around? Are you in town? I was like, yeah, what's going on? They were like, we need you to pick up a spiral notebook with perforated edges. Oh, and shit. I was like, what kind of shit is that?
Right.
You know? I was like, you need a spiral notebook right now. It was like, I don't know, in the middle of the freaking afternoon. It was something weird. And I was like, all right, spiral notebook, got it. They were like, pick two of them up just in case. I was like, no problem. Send me.
I'll bring four.
Send me. I didn't know who I was going there for.
Right. No idea.
I just got a call. Can you bring some notebooks? Yes. So I go to the store, I pick up some notebooks. I look like shit this day. I don't know what the hell I'm looking for these notebooks for. They just told me to bring these notebooks to this address. And
they
again,
emphasized it.
It's always love, exactly. Yeah. They were like, right now, we need them right now.
Not right now, right now, but right now.
Immediately. So I'll never forget, I had like an oversized freaking, I want to say it was a bullshit ass Cowboys jersey on. It's my ex's jersey, and I literally had something thrown on. I'm a Giants fan, y'all, so go Giants. Some freaking sweats. My hair looked like shit. I was just dropping off a notebook. So I pull up.
You figure no big deal.
Within the hour with the notebooks, you know, and I get there and I text them and I was like, come on, I got these notebooks. They were like, no, come in. And I was like, all right, I don't have a lot of time. My kid's at home. Somebody's watching her. I'm not dressed for this. They were like, no, you're going to want to come in.
Right.
And I said, okay. So I come in, and I start seeing the hoes. I see mad females and a lot of dudes and people, and there's just a lot of commotion. And I'm real small, so I'm kind of maneuvering my way through everything. And I get to the person that wanted the notebooks, and I'm like, here are the notebooks. They were like, no, give it to him yourself.
Right.
I said, him who? They were like, DMX. Oh, I was like, what the hell you mean,
damn.
DMX? So I was like,
what?
Dog. I was like, DMX? They were like, yeah, imagine, I'm 19 years old. This is somebody that I've listened to, you know, for freaking my entire teenage life, and now I'm standing there with these two perforated notebooks, and they call him over, and he breaks away from everybody immediately, and he's like, "Did you bring the notebooks?" And he said it in his very deep bass voice. I can't do his voice. And right. I was like, "Yeah, I brought the notebooks," but at that point, I didn't know what the hell
to say. Right?
Yeah. I hand him the notebooks, and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. Are you coming to the show?" And I was like, "No, I'm not coming to the show because I don't have a babysitter, and I didn't know that I was coming here to drop some notebooks off to you." So, I didn't go to the show that night. Actually, you know, I was being a responsible parent, and he took a picture with me. It was the worst freaking picture on earth. As a matter of fact, every picture that me and X ever took, he hated, and he would make me retake the picture every time I saw it. Right. So I have about 5-6 different freaking tours worth of pictures with him. Like, aww, it's funny just to see the progression over the years. Right. So I think he's my funnest story like that. And I was very young, so that was kind of my first time dealing with just the hospitality side of stuff. Right. I always want to help.
Damn, that's that grew wild. Big time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was at his funeral. I was actually there with his family. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that, man.
So great that you had those moments with him.
Oh, my God. I saw him 2 months before he passed away. Wow. So I sat and I was actually blessed enough to have about a 2.5-hour conversation with him and his manager about upcoming things that he had going on. He wanted to be completely filled in about the podcast. He knew I had done radio. So just, you know, we were just catching up, and he had said a couple of things that Swiss Beats actually was the one that re-emphasized this numerous times during the funeral. And X felt like he put a lot more love out than what he got back. You know, so during this conversation I had with him the last time I saw him again, like two months before his passing, he was just saying, "Don't let them take everything from you. Don't let them walk over you. Stay true to exactly what the hell it is you are." He said, "You have an amazing voice for this, and don't feel sad when you're not supported by the people that you feel like you should be supported." And it's a lonely process. And he said, "But it's not for the weak of heart, you know?" So that was kind of our last conversations, and I invited him out to the podcast, and he was dropping a cologne, and he was telling me about that, and so much going on, and he was just excited. He was about to do a podcast under the Drink Champs footprint. So he was asking me technical questions. What equipment are you using? What mics are you? You know, that's crazy to have somebody like him asking you how you're doing something, you know, but humbly, that's my friend, you know? So I wanted to give all of the experience and information in the very short time that I've been doing this, you know, to him, just so we could compare, take notes, and everybody could just keep rising, you know? So the Noriega was doing his drop here in Colorado for Super Thug that week, and we were extremely excited. Because,
what a fun weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend, and then an ex passed during that situation, so it just made it very hard. Yeah.
It was nice to be with your family, though,
it
too.
It was hard to watch them so upset. Big shout out, I can't even remember the cats that did the light show. DSD? DSDI.
Big shout out to DSDI. Those cats are dope. Jeff and them, they're dope.
Big shout out to DSDI. They were doing some work for me up there for that Super Thug drop. And once we had prematurely learned that he probably wasn't going to make it, they had put up DMX on the clock tower downtown Denver. And it was the most
so beautiful,
amazing, emotional freaking moment that I'd had in a long time. So again, it's up and down. You know, it's got its fun parts. I've had great tours. And then there's this part where a week later I had to fly to a funeral and watch them bury one of my friends that, you know, one of the people that have been around for fucking 20 years. So,
what an amazing person to have as a friend, you know, that you can actually call as a friend. And to be able to have that moment with him about your podcast. And he's right. You do have the voice for it. And
thank you.
And it's nice to see you shining.
I appreciate that. It's all a process, you know, it's up and down. But it's nice to, I've never asked anybody for anything. I'm not one to ask any of those fellas or ladies for anything. Everything I did, I worked for myself, and I want them to see that she hustled it just like we did, you know?
Yeah. Right. It's not always about that, you know what I mean? You got to work hard for your own shit, you know?
You always got to work hard for your own shit. I think people get so caught up in, why aren't you plugging me? I'm like, well, sometimes you got to plug yourself, love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to make the move yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's what you do.
Message.
Oh, my God. the plug.
All yourself too. Like, you know, I knew right when I saw things on Instagram, I was like, what are you up to, girl?
The podcast.
And you also have DMX on your wall, and it's so beautiful.
Yo, you know what?
Such
big salute to Official. We didn't know we were going to finish that wall with. And then it was freaking obvious once that had happened. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask him to, but he knew.
He knew.
So I love it because he's looking down over the whole studio and just the project. You know, this was more than just a podcast for me. It was literally almost like an experiment. I just wanted to see, you know, this
all
is
kinds
a,
of ups and downs.
A new industry. Cannabis is an industry where it's very untouched. If we want to be technical, you know, everybody's trying to figure out their target audiences, who they want to market to. They're dealing with the MED and the laws. They're dealing with having 1,000 other people to compete with. So it's an interesting market, but definitely a good one if that's your passion.
Right.
Yeah.
It's my passion. Yeah. That hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm right there with
it's
you.
Hand culture, in hand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the culture. Yeah. Exactly. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So got it right.
You had another really dope DMX story. Do you mind if you're telling that to us for, you know, the people here out there? Because to me, like, there's a couple things that I've already noticed. Like I said, first of all, we'll talk about Red and Meth versus during quarantine. Mm-hmm. I remember Sam told me what the number was. I don't remember, but I think it was 170 total.
Yeah.
Cast, crew, everything, the whole motherfucker.
How many people were
how
there?
How many people could be there total? Like, or was it lower?
17.
I'm way out the mark.
17 people there. Yeah.
But 1 of 17. Red and Meth versus. I mean,
so
you got to know
you
someone.
First?
but no, that was one thing right there. But then I was like saying the other one, like, yeah. That's some crazy shit. And then you told me that shit last night. I was like, damn. Like,
A friend of mine who was a promoter had took a risk, and he was the first gentleman that had brought X out after, you know, he had a lot of bad press and his little situations.
Little issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
he brought him out for a tour in Europe, right? And it was my birthday weekend. My brother was pulling security detail on this tour, so.
Are your brothers big?
Yeah, they're
maybe whooping ass.
Yeah, they're whooping ass.
They like whooping
he knows,
ass.
He like Wing Chun and all kinds of fucking different type of shit.
Fuck a motherfucker up.
Yeah,
and you got a lot of brothers, or what?
I got two.
Okay,
two brothers.
So you got like
I'm
seven.
The oldest. Okay. I got two brothers on my mother's side. I've got five siblings on my father's side. So yeah, it's like Snow White and it's a whole bunch in between.
Right, right.
Yeah. X found out it was my birthday, and I was backstage stuffing my face because I usually be really high and then I'd be hungry. So
high and hungry.
before, that shit goes together.
H and H.
So before the last song goes off, I know usually when the show is about to be over and the rush of people and all that. So I try to make my way somewhere where I can be out the way because I don't like crowds and probably find something to eat because at this point I'm high as shit. So I'm backstage and I got the munchies and I find the catering and I'm enjoying a delicious plate of who knows what, some type of food. I'm still high as hell.
Right.
And X comes back there and there's cameras and people follow him. That's the regular commotion, you know? So
craziness.
To me, it's not the normal. It's a normal to me. I don't pay it any mind. Nobody particularly likes it per se, but it's part of what it
game.
Is, you know? So he comes up and he was like, yo, sis. Where's the food at? And I was like, yo, it's right around the corner, X. And then somebody come up and you're like, you know, it's her birthday, right? And he was like, no, I didn't know it was her birthday. He's like, come here. And I was like, oh man, I'm just trying to eat this food. And he said, you know what? I'm gonna pray over you for your birthday. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay.
I don't know what that means, right? But
except for I knew what that meant because I'd seen him do this numerous times, you know, in other situations. He was very, such a powerful freaking presence.
Oh, yeah.
And with him, anytime he would open his mouth to speak, I don't give a damn what the hell he was asking you for. He demanded that, you know. So I knew it was going to be some long-winded prayer. And I was like, all right, get ready for whatever this is about to look like. Because I didn't know where it was going to go with X. I put my plate down and I bowed my head. And he put his hands on my head. And I was like, oh, man, just close your eyes. And he starts praying. And I can't tell you verbatim what he said. You know, of course, bless another year of life. And bless her and her brother. Because he knew my brother was there doing his security detail, his private detail. And he was just preaching. And I think this went on for a cool, I don't know, 4 minutes, which is a long time to be talking.
Yeah.
Especially if you're praying. So, you know, most of us will pray, thank you, God, for this food and everything you bless us with. Amen. Nah, this was a prayer. So I've put out an APB on that footage because I never thought, again.
Right here. Tell them right here.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Like,
let them know.
I'm looking
where they can
for
send
this.
It.
I need the footage. Send it here to Joe Thunder. Send it to me.
We'll get it to her.
But somebody took footage of that night. I've never seen it. Again, we were in Germany, so it was probably a German publication or something. At some point, it'll turn up, I hope. But that was probably one of the most memorable moments, birthdays I think I've ever had in my life, for sure. To have DMX pray over you backstage at a festival
Imagine
is pretty
that.
Fucking dope.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So naturally, had to be at his funeral to say a proper goodbye. It was the most amazing. It was 3 days of services, and God, the Rough Riders and the whole fucking city showed out.
I saw a video on your.
It was amazing.
On your, and social media.
Again, I didn't post almost any of it because that was very personal to me. You know, I wasn't there for any clout. I didn't want
anybody.
You
were sharing other
me.
People's stuff that they posted,
exactly.
But not your own. Like
So I could still be like, oh, look what's going on. No, my footage is so personal that I'll probably never post that, especially from that situation. That was a funeral. That's not a concert. That's not the thing that I want to.
That's some shit you don't do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at all. But it was beautiful services. His ex-wife and his fiance freaking held it together like some queens. His children were beautiful. They were up there. So again, it was an honor to be there.
And they like drove him right through Times Square in the big ass monster
and a
truck.
Big monster truck. Mm-hmm. They brought him all the way from Yonkers.
How far is that? Because I don't know.
Okay, so from Yonkers to Brooklyn.
Here to Boulder.
I'm gonna say it probably took them, I don't know, about 45 minutes, an hour. But the police had that shit cleared out. And when I mean I had never seen so many bikes in the four-wheelers. You got to remember, so New York is really big, or, you know, the city is really big, the five boroughs, everything is really spread out. Yeah. And we're all very different, you know? Those bikes and everything, that's more a Harlem thing. You know, that's something we don't really see in Brooklyn, and people don't ride around on the bikes like that. So to see the Barclays surrounded by the Rough Riders and everything in between, you know, from Yonkers to freaking Brooklyn was, I cried. I literally cried the whole entire day. But again, it was beautiful. Kanye West did his services. So that was his choir that was up there. Kanye was up there orchestrating the choir. I've never seen Kanye's choir, so that was dope as shit.
Was it dope as shit?
Oh my God.
Because no matter what people think about Kanye, his music.
He's a genius.
He's amazing. Most. Like, I play him.
Genius
time,
Gemini
so.
Ever, for sure. Kanye didn't even tell anybody it was him. We didn't know it was Kanye till afterwards. And I appreciate that because it wasn't about him, it was about X, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was just, it was a lot of emotion, but they did him justice. So I appreciate the whole family and everybody that put that together for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's,
man, we lost a good one, you know what I mean? Been losing a lot of good ones. That's sad. Like,
I don't know. I guess, you know, we're getting older. So.
But it's also part of life. I'm sorry. But I'm saying we need to realize that we got those moments and we have to, like, try to just be good with each other as much as we can. And, like, you're so lucky you had those moments. And
life
you have to be
is
good.
Life super is just, short.
It is.
Take advantage of that shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I have a lot of arguments with people about that because from what I did 10, 20 years ago to what I do now is the complete opposite. You know, there's no real stability or security in it yet because it's something new that I'm building and growing. But it was a leap of faith for me, and so far, it's been love, you know, from the city of Denver, from the sponsors that I've picked up that I must definitely shout out. So y'all don't be mad at me. Yeah, I'll shout them out later.
No, you're going there. It's all love here. Hey, for us, all love. It ain't no nothing. It's all love here.
When you bring a vision to somebody and there's nothing there and people actually believe in you, it's a freaking dope-ass feeling.
Awesome. Oh, I'm sure.
So big salutes to Wolfpack. You already know I'm going to shout them out.
Big shout-out, Wolfpack. I fuck with Wolfpack.
They were the first ones that I took this. Once I had the idea and the concept, I took this to Wolfpack, and they were like, whatever you're doing, we're rocking with you. Right. You know, freaking so high mile exotic limos. Oh my God, those guys have been a godsend. You know, 420 friendly, A to B. We're all like a family now. Like I look forward to seeing them because it's not work to me.
Right,
you know?
It's fun.
You have a whole team. Yeah. Like, and that's such a good feeling.
Who else I got?
When it's fun, it makes the biggest difference.
Mm-hmm. You got God, I can't forget my jewelers. Freaking Mahi Jewelers is like the dopest jewelers in the freaking city of Denver. Big salute to David and the whole squad over there. They keep me real saucy, and they always come in for the bigger festivals and stuff. They're real big on supporting the city.
But they do keep you saucy as fuck because man, you are all the accessories. Your accessories are like everything.
Thank you.
For real.
But that's them. So y'all definitely go check them out. And then my flower, of course, man, Certified Magic, the cleanest freaking green in the damn city. It's organic. I'm at this point where I barely smoke anything else. So between all those sponsors and just like Sin was there from the very beginning of it, the art community, oh my God, I love you guys so much. The art community in Denver is something amazing. It's something that it almost reminds me of home, you know, of New York.
Oh yeah, that's why I met Joe and Elvis, because of the art community too. I mean, that's the art community really brings us all together, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely has a very communal space here. People appreciate each other and show each other love here in the community.
And they're talented.
In the art scene. Yeah, very talented.
These people are talented. Some of the best artists in the world. Rubzilla, you got Official that did my main piece. Yeah. Some real deal. You got artists. Brooklyn BK that did my Woo Room with the bricks. Yes. And then, Rachel, my girl Rachel did my Shroom Room. It's Dreamscape. Like a big giant space. Dreamscape, exactly. I've had all kinds of artists and people come through there, and Graffiti did the hallways. I can't forget him. Yes, and people just their jaw drops. They're like, "What the hell is this?"
And then the Wu-Tang bathroom.
Oh my God! Yeah, she freaking did that. She actually does the selfie museums.
Yeah.
So, Brooklyn. Like I said, it's some talented people that came in there and blessed the freaking property.
Yeah, and this is all leading up to the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Talk about that. The Mile High
Sessions.
Yes.
That was, again, that stemmed from the furlough from KS. Super bummed. Well, at first it was cool because everybody was locked up and I was taking advantage of those cheap flights. And every time you guys saw me, I was somewhere else, you know. The flights were like $11. And I said, if you guys aren't taking these $11 flights your little masks and
shit. I got the little 60 to LA round trip. You know, I was psyched with that motherfucker a couple times.
I flew to New York for $11 each way one time. It was like 22 round trip. Yeah.
That's wild.
I took all my kids to Miami. I took my whole family
to
Miami.
You're
on vacation.
I spent more than that on gas to the fucking airport.
Right?
You kidding me?
I took my kids on vacation and I ended up paying like $77 round trip for all of us.
That's ridiculous.
Yo, dead ass. They were like, are you sure this is? I was like, you're fine. Just get on the plane, put your mask on and just. I would take red eyes. Definitely kept hand sanitizer, my little mask on. But I would just travel when people were less likely to be out. And what I experienced was something so freaking incredible. Oh. I have pictures of all the major cities with nobody in them. Right. So to go home to stand in the middle of New York City and be able to stand in the middle of an intersection in the middle of the day and there's nobody. I didn't even see no stray dogs, the cats. I was like, where the fuck the rats?
No rats?
I was like, nobody.
You ain't seen no rats in New York. Something's cracking.
Where people should be doing movies. They should be filming movies.
But
right
that's
now.
What it felt like. I was like, man. Let me get my camera out. And sure as shit, get a photo shoot here. Let me stand in the middle of the street over here. No cabs, no nothing. It was
that shit
weird
was
as
dead
shit.
Like a month. Yeah, I got to work in 5 minutes like a month. It usually takes me 30. Be like,
yo, man, I couldn't get nowhere in that. The tolls were free. They weren't even charging you tolls to go in and out of the city.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, that's an
$18
toll.
Nobody worked on the tolls,
Everything was crazy.
Gas was like $1.25, $1.50 maybe.
Buses were free and everything. I was a homie in L.A.
I went to L.A. Miami was cool as shit, empty. Philly was cool as shit without nobody there. I was like, oh, man, this is kind of cool. I like seeing all y'all.
L.A.'s the best no traffic shit.
Yeah, but then, you know, after months and months of that, I had a mishap and I broke my foot, so I had to sit still for a while. And then I had to figure out, all right, what are you going to do with the rest of this year? You can't just waste it. Be productive. So the idea of a podcast came into my head, but I didn't want to do it about music.
Right.
That wasn't a challenge to me. You know, I've already...
It's too easy for you.
I'm a radio personality. You know, I've been doing that for 7 years. So I kind of wanted something that would be a little bit more easier to be myself and challenging. So I called back to Redman, actually. And that's
still
like,
lives in the same place, right? You seen on Cribs.
Still lives in the same damn place. Big salute
it's a little better.
The Funk Doc. It's a lot better. He fixed all that shit up. I called Doc and I was like, Doc, I want to do something, but I don't know what I want to do. And he was like, I'm gonna save you a lot of crying. Do the podcast about cannabis, and I want my royalties once it's well
right.
done.
I want cutting.
So let me know how it goes.
Show me the money.
So anytime I've run into any snafus or anything, I'm upset or I don't know what to do. You know, if I'm getting offers from people that don't seem like something that might be beneficial, I'll call him. You know, and say, what do you think about this?
He's
you know,
your go-to for advice, right?
Absolutely. God, he's been doing this for 30 freaking years. Why would you not go to somebody
right, if
that
anybody
has
knows.
All experience?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
No, for real,
and
for
he
real.
Told me, he was like, work hard, create your content, and give people something to be interested about, you know?
Yeah, content.
Yeah, absolutely. Content's
everybody amazing. Loves weed.
So yeah. I can't give him all the credit. Right after that call, I got off that call, and I called my friend Sonny D. Bett, and he is... part of the Drink Champs camp over there with Nori and DJ EFN. Mm-hmm. And I asked him the same thing. I was like, Sonny, I broke my damn foot. I'm not going to be able to fly everywhere no more. And I can't just sit still. What should I do? He was like, that's easy. He said, but I'm going to let you answer your own question.
You already know the answer.
Yeah. And that's what he said. He said, you know the answer. But if you want to hear me say, go do your podcast about cannabis. You're in the perfect state for it. Yeah. You're already a personality there. You tour with some of the most smokiest people on earth. Vast knowledge and a good interest. You know, it's a good subject matter you'll be able to carry. Mm-hmm. Rock with that. And that's what we rocked with.
So real quick, does Colorado have the best herb? Or who has the best herb in your opinion?
let's see.
Now watch
the best weed I've ever smoked in my
whole life.
Well,
not ever, ever. I'm just saying, who has the best weed
in general,
now, right
Colorado.
Now? That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
hands down.
There we go.
That's why I live
here. That's right.
That's why I live here. Damn it. I don't care what nobody say.
You
y'all
heard
take
it.
Colorado has the best weed.
It's different. It's different here, and then we're connoisseurs. Your average person on the street is a connoisseur, so you're not going to bullshit nobody here. For the most part, we don't smoke mids.
Right.
It's not our thing, you know, so we're kind of spoiled here. But the best weed
I've
ever smoked,
rewind real quick. Yep.
I was in Monaco. I was in Monaco on the French Riviera, and I was scared to take weed with me on that trip because I don't know what, you know, that I don't know what the laws was in that country. I said, y'all ain't finna get me caught up. So I decided I was going to have a sober weekend.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man.
So About 7 hours into the weekend, you know, the freaking flight was delayed. There's no cabs running. Again, Europe doesn't believe in doing shit in the middle of the night or on Sundays. I was mad as shit. I didn't bring no damn weed. So the next day, I went down to the beach, and it was nice. And all I could think about was, damn, I wish I had a nice blunt to smoke or something to blow. What a beautiful view. I don't even speak the language. I don't even know what language they speak here. I'm just, whatever. Let's go get a drink. So I'm walking back to my Airbnb that we were staying in, and the roads were mad skinny. So it was just me and my homegirl. She was walking, I want to say, in front of me. So she was in front of me. I was behind her, and we're walking on this little tiny sidewalk. And somebody, I could hear footsteps coming up behind me. Now I'm in a foreign country. I don't play that shit.
Right.
You know, so I kind of look back to see. He don't look like a threat. He comes around me. And he's tossing something up and down in the air. I can't really see, and I'm not paying attention because I'm still walking on this side. It was weed. He's tossing a giant nug of weed up and freaking down.
Yeah.
And then when he walks around, he drops a giant joint out of his ear on the ground.
No way.
Right in front of me.
From the heavens.
Yo, dead ass. Right in front of me. And I look down. And I look up, and I was like, Scylla,
like,
you know, my homegirl, she turned around. She was like, what? And I was like, yo, stop him. She was like, what? I was like, hey. And he turned around, and I picked up the joint. I said, you dropped something. And he was like, oh, you know, thank you in French. Whatever the fuck he said. And he comes back, and I was like, okay, where did you get this from?
Okay,
like,
I guess so.
I need to, you know. And then he was like, I don't understand, because I was speaking to him in English. And then I'm trying to, I was like, let me say it in German. And he was like, I don't speak German. And I was like, fuck, what, do you speak Spanish? Let me say it to him in Spanish. He doesn't speak Spanish. And I was like, oh my God, he's not going to understand me. And I'm not going to get any weed. And
you should just lit it up.
I just said like that. And he was like, okay, come on. Now, normally I wouldn't just fucking follow somebody like this randomly in the middle. But at this point, I was determined to get some of this freaking weed because it looked pretty good from what I saw him tossing around. And we walked maybe three steps around the corner, and it was the middle of the day. And I said, I'm going to wait right here on the street. You bring it out. And he brought it out, and he said, how much? And I was like, 50 euro. You know, that's about $60. I was like, whatever 50 euro get me, that should get me through the whole weekend. Just 50 euro. So he brings out a fucking baggie that I'm promising you that's like a zip. And I was like, that is not 50 fucking euros worth of weed. That is way more than that. And I told him, I said, do you have a scale? Can you weigh it out? I just need 50 euro. And he was like, no, take it. Yo, best weed I'd ever smoked in my life, man. We went out that night. I think I was hallucinating. I'm hoping that it was just weed. I don't know if it was sprinkled with something, but
sprinkle me.
I ain't never had nothing better. I couldn't tell you what kind of weed it was or what was going on, but yeah, that was the best.
Remember first time?
I don't want to remember the first
time. Okay.
Never mind. Yeah, I remember the first time. It was a house party. Okay. I smoked at a house party. I took a couple of hits, and it wasn't really my thing.
Right.
I think I didn't smoke again for probably a year after that, and then it really became my thing. But back then, hashish was the shit. So we used to smoke a lot of hash, and that's what it was back then. And then over the years, it graduated into what we have now.
Exactly.
Amsterdam. Definitely one of my favorite spots to smoke at. I think Portugal legalized everything, so sure, that was pretty cool. I got to smoke in Times Square for 420 because they legalized this year, so that was fucking exciting.
You ever thought that happened?
No.
Honestly, I never thought weed would be legal like this at all.
I didn't think so either.
I remember you just trying to hide weed when you get pulled over and shit because you motherfuckers take you to jail.
I guess logically.
Honestly, back in the day here, though, I remember homie used to rent out the park for 420, you know, and it wasn't like the vendors like how you see now. It was some dude on the steps with a megaphone.
I remember that.
Yelling, talking about how we need to legalize marijuana.
Really?
And the cops are sitting in the park, and we're smoking blunts. Like, the cops ain't doing shit. They're busting people for, like, selling shit and bongs. So, like, they were selling glass and shit. But I remember thinking, like, one day weed's going to be legal here.
Oh, when that came through, yeah, but I'm talking.
See, I'm saying I was.
I'm old.
But yeah, I'm saying I was young.
Exactly. I'm talking 93, 94. Like, never. Everything we used to go.
And we used to have conversations about that. Real high ones.
They had it back then.
Well, I mean, they
he was doing the 420 nod. The rally had been around since like 93.
So Colorado.
I remember going way later.
Colorado definitely pioneered this shit.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So I guess living in Colorado, you guys could see where it would slip into legality. I had Wanda James on the podcast last week. She's the first African American dispensary owner in history, recreationally legally licensed. Yep. And I asked her basically that same question. You know, she was like, well, in Colorado, it wasn't a freaking problem.
Right.
I didn't know people were being arrested in other parts of the country for weed because to us it was fucking normal.
We used to walk the streets and just smoke blunts. Now it's not okay. Now that it's legal, I can't walk the street and smoke a blunt.
I still do, but I got the fucking...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but now they're hating on it back in the day. It's like, hey, put that out.
Catch me.
Or whatever.
I got the funniest story about that shit. We used to be like, this is before even graduating, so this is like 90, but we used to always go up to the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
And we go hiking and all kinds of dumb shit and get kicked out. And I remember one night we were going and we were smoking weed and this fucking cop got behind us, bro, and flashed his lights, dog. And I have this weed and I'm like, fuck, dog, I'm not getting caught with this and I can't get no one else in trouble. So I'm like, I'm going to eat this motherfucker, bro. So I eat like probably an eighth of some dirt weed, bro.
Oh, no. What?
We seeds and shit all in everything, bro.
Oh, we pull over. This motherfucker goes around us, bro.
Oh my God.
Yes. He went around us and we just kept going. And I ate this fucking, at least an eighth of fucking dirt weed.
How are you still like that, like in Europe with water?
I just ate it.
Like shrooms.
Because back then, like for real, back then in 92, if you got caught with weed, they would take you to jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
It was criminalized for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
and you might not have easy time getting the job now. You know what I mean? So I was like, fuck that. Like, and I ate some dirt weed. I was all my homies
from
high
school. How did that settle with yourself? You're supposed to drink milk or some shit after that.
Were you fucked up, like pretty wasted after that? Like,
probably, I'm sure.
Oh, you don't remember?
He's like, I don't remember. I was so fucking high.
It's a long time ago, but yeah.
So it was probably rough going down.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I haven't had any major run-ins with the law over no weed, thank God.
Right, yeah.
My brothers weren't so lucky. A
couple close calls, you know?
But this state, again, it was one of the reasons that I came here. You know, when I was deciding to come back from Europe and to keep pursuing radio as my new career goal, I wanted to be in a state where, A, it was legal. That was, like, my top fucking requisite, which is why I didn't want to go home. It was not legal in New York. I didn't want to go home and be somewhere where I had to be dealing with all that, you know? For me, it turned into a situation where I had to pick a state where my kids would be happy. You know, I'm a single parent now, so I had to make sure they were good, and I wanted to be somewhere where the tree was freaking plentiful and legal and amazing.
Right, and so you're here right now?
Here I am. I lived here for 3 years as a kid. Like you said, my dad was a military, so I knew what I was coming back to, and I thought it was like, okay, I can fuck with this for a while.
Hell yeah. Well, we're glad you're here. You know what I mean?
I'm definitely glad to be here too.
Pumped.
Yeah.
Well, shit, you definitely had like an interesting story. You know what I mean? I mean, any kind of last, you know, things, let them know. Let them know about the podcast. You said you're probably going to be dropping it in the fall.
Yeah, I know. I keep hearing the chatter. People say that, she ain't doing nothing. I was like, man, I work harder than most damn people do. Just because you can't see what I'm doing don't mean it's not getting done.
And talking to you, it's more than a podcast.
Absolutely. Now it's become, and I didn't know that at the beginning. I was really just trying to do a podcast. Now it's become like a whole, it's cool. I kind of get to market situations. I'm learning a whole different part of the industry that I didn't really have much to do with on the radio side. I was more just a talent, you know? Yeah. They would tell us where to go. We'd show up there, do what we do, get paid, keep it moving.
Just
but on
some
this
direction.
End,
now you're handling your all,
yeah,
all
I'm
your
handling
own.
It all myself. So everything, everything is really on me and my team, and they're a real dope squad. Like I got a cookies situation I'm hosting. That's a major brand.
No,
that's freaking
for real.
Dope.
Congratulations.
Dope. Thank you. That's on Saturday for 710 Dab Day, and I'm excited about that and just the expansion again. A year ago, I couldn't have told you that this is what I would have been doing at all, you know? And I couldn't have, I definitely, you know, 6 months ago, I couldn't have told you if this was going to work or not. And where I sit today, you know, I don't doubt any of this.
Right.
But I still want to make sure that I keep my head in the clouds but my feet on the ground. So we got to keep that
message.
Balance.
That's
keep
it.
That
shit message.
Absolutely. The podcast is the Mile High Sessions. It's about cannabis, mainly because during the quarantine, we were locked up and I watched a lot of Netflix, and I like weed, so I watched a lot of weed shows on Netflix, and I saw a lack of people that kind of looked like any of us.
Right.
And then I kept watching weed shows, and I kept seeing the lack, and I see Wanda pop up every blue moon, and I'm like, oh, Wanda. But where the fuck is everybody else, you know?
Right.
So when I started thinking about how I wanted to make this a situation where I could showcase, because it was always a showcase, you know, in radio, that's what we're taught. We're taught to not so much sell you something, but to show you something, to give you an experience. So I wanted this to be that. So I was looking for a small brick room in Rhino. There was no small brick rooms in Rhino that would let me smoke weed in them.
Right.
I thought then, oh, that's the universe telling you, you can't do this shit. Go sit your ass down somewhere.
No.
And then I'd keep looking and still wouldn't find nothing, and I'd be pissed off and discouraged again. And I was like, fuck this, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to look one more time. And I looked on Craigslist of all places, and I found this freaking property with a view of Denver that I'd never seen in my life. Uh-uh. It was 15 feet of windows and just the most amazing view of what I would consider the most beautiful parts of this state, which is the mountains to my right and the city to my left. It's a good balance. And the unit wasn't available, but I was patient. When it became available, it was just a matter of making sure my P's and Q's were in a row, and we took the property one December and freaking rocked to where we're at now. So the podcast, maybe the fall. I'm just taking my time with this. I'm not in any rush for
no
anybody.
Rush.
But you have a lot of great guests.
Oh, my God, I've had some
Wanda's
amazing
one
guests.
Of them, you said, and then there's...
Yep, I've had the Drink Champs and the Smoke Champs. I had the St. Lunatics. They were a lot of fun. Big salutes to them. I've had Zarilla Bacon, Celebrity Cannabis Chef. She was my first episode. I've had Big Body Bess from Fuck That's Delicious. He's right. hilarious. He's yeah. funny as shit.
Hilarious. Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, yeah.
He was. That's super dope. I don't even. That was definitely. You know what? I had dislocated my knee that day. Yeah, dead ass. The Wolfpack That's calls right. while I was in the emergency. You remember that
you
shit?
Still got, you still got a brace
yeah.
on.
I'm still
yeah.
freaking messed up my damn knee. I dislocated my knee that day, and I get a call.
You're coming from two injuries, room. Though, too. Like
back
you from,
to back.
Yeah, back to back.
Back to back injuries.
Yeah.
Wolfpack calls me, and I'm in the emergency room. And they were like, yo, we need to do a podcast right now. And I was like, the timing is kind of bad. They were like, where are you at? I was like, I'm in the emergency room and my leg might possibly be broken, but it's kind of swollen and we can't figure out what's going on right now. What could I help you with? You know, and they were like, yo, we got Big Body Bess in the city. He wants to sit down and do the podcast. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, how much morphine are you guys gonna give me? I freaking took those pills and I drove down there and I did the fucking podcast with my knee swollen this freaking God. Big yeah. on freaking narcotics and just finished. But it was one of the best episodes because he's funny. Who else have I had on there? My cancer episode, that's probably one of my favorites to this day. It was real educational. I had two people on there that had cured themselves of cancer with RSO.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like it is extremely important to educate people on options. You know, there's always mm-hmm. an option. So they were super important. That episode was dedicated to a little girl that actually passed away a week after we shot that episode. Oh. Yeah. Lyric. Yeah, she died of cancer. And they had tried the RSO, but peace. I think it was too late. But yeah, yeah, you know, so it's been up and down. I've had a lot of cool people locally come on the podcast, you know, yeah. and just I always want to balance the love. And we got some big episodes coming up in the next couple of months. So
hell
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right.
I'm excited to see the whole everything just come out. Like, I can't see any of that.
We're
episodes.
Getting
it.
I'm yeah. teasing y'all now.
Yeah,
teasing right. y'all right there. Where can you find it? The Mile High Sessions. Again, it's not released yet, but it'll be on all major streaming platforms. When it does release, you can follow the Instagram at The Mile High Sessions. Same on Facebook. I'm Manji Reverie on all of the above. It's spelled funny, so
spell
I
it.
Know y'all gonna mispronounce it, but it's okay. M-A-N-G Y-E-E underscore R-E-V-E-R-I-E. So that's where you can find me on social media.
Yeah.
Keep up yes. with the podcast. It's coming, I promise.
All
I'm
right.
just having a lot of fun with it.
Hell yeah. Well, like I said, we appreciate you coming
I'm
on
so
by.
Glad you came, girl. Yeah, I'm so much. Proud of you. I'm just like, you're killing it, girl. Keep doing your thing.
Big salute to you guys, too. You know, it's always
much.
Love. I think people always get into this space where they feel like if you're not rocking with one specific company or one person, it's not love. And that's never the situation. I want to yeah. be
no,
very clear about saying that
sure.
before I get off this podcast.
Definitely.
I hear a lot of people in the city state. You know, and even myself, I've been guilty of it. Oh, I don't get the support. I don't understand why. You know, everybody doesn't see your vision. They're not meant to see your
right.
vision. You know, the people that are going to rock with you are going to rock with you.
That's
and
who
just
it
appreciate
is.
Appreciate that. The support will come as you grow. You know, most of the
yeah.
major artists that
It'll
you
come.
See in this industry, they weren't supported by their damn cities.
Right.
And half the time,
right.
the cities can't fucking stand them until they blow up into
uh-huh.
something else. So if you guys box yourself up to, yes. I can't do this because Sin doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're fucked already. Give up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can't care about none of that. There's no getting ahead if you're worried about everybody that's behind you.
Exactly.
Right.
You gotta lead like a leader.
Yep, keep pushing.
But thank you guys for having me.
I'm
you
so glad
yeah, thank
you
came, for,
girl.
Appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, well,
Boss.
There you have it, man. Another banger. You know what I'm saying? Learned a lot. Heard some dope ass stories. You got Elvis Freshly, Be Good Dispensaries, co-host, Sin in the house.
Hey.
Yep.
We appreciate y'all.
Hey.
You
hey.
Find us on all platforms.
Yo, we out.
We out.
Peace.
Peace.